The one thing you hear more than anything when you're dealing with infertility is that you shouldn't stress. We know that stress is bad for us, but how are you supposed to avoid it when you've spent months or years trying to conceive and there is no end in sight? On today's episode, I'm going to break down exactly what stress is, how it affects your overall health and, of course, your fertility, and most importantly, what you can do to reduce it. That's all coming up on today's episode of Your Journey to Fertility.
Welcome to Your Journey to Fertility. This is the podcast that blends science with spirit to give you all the tools you need as you navigate your fertility journey. I'm your host, Jennifer Edmonds, and for the last 15 years, I've been helping women on their journeys to motherhood and beyond. I believe that combining the latest scientific research along with the best energetic and mindset practices will help you to avoid putting your life on hold and bring you closer to your baby. Each week, you'll learn ways to support your fertility and trust your body so that you can stop stressing that you'll never have your baby and finally walk your path to motherhood. This is the Your Journey to Fertility podcast.
Welcome back to the podcast. Today, we are talking about the thing I probably get asked most about from students, and that is stress. We all know that it is bad for our health, blah, blah, blah. But when someone says stop stressing, or you know, they recommend you go for a massage or to have a spa day, we know that that isn't helpful. But why is that the case? And why doesn't it make any difference to how you're feeling? Well, today I'm going to break down exactly what stress is and how it impacts your body and why it affects your fertility in such a big way. And most importantly, how you can actually go about balancing it. To talk about stress, we really need to talk about the nervous system. So we're going to have a very brief, but very important geeky science lesson. I'm going to keep it as succinct and as interesting as I can. Now, your nervous system is intricate and complex. But for today's episode, what is relevant is the autonomic nervous system. This is the part of your brain that controls unconscious activities like breathing and digestion. This system is always working, whether or not you're awake. You need this system to live. It's incredibly intelligent and highly evolved, and it is the reason that we are all here. But what you need to remember is that it has one major job, which it prioritizes above everything else, and that is to keep you safe at all times. So let's break it down even further now, having a look at the brain. Now, within the brain, we have the hypothalamus. Your hypothalamus is kind of like the control tower for your body. It is the main control center that affects every operation that is happening within your body. Things like keeping your heart beating, keeping your food digesting, your blood pumping, your breathing happening in and out, especially when you're asleep. If we had to stop and think about doing all of these things, we wouldn't have survived very long. So that's its main job, to keep a little lookout, to know what is going on within the body and to regulate it at all times. Now, we also have this little gland called the amygdala, and the amygdala is like the watchtower. It is the thing that is constantly scanning your environment, looking for signs of safety or danger. And when the amygdala senses a threat, it signals to the hypothalamus that you are not safe, that your life is potentially under threat. And then what does the hypothalamus do? It says, right, we're under threat. We're going to have to send in the SWAT team. It sends down signals to your adrenal glands to start pumping out your stress hormones. So your cortisol, your adrenaline, your norepinephrine. And these hormones take all of the focus and energy away from those sort of internal organs, and they bring it out to your extremities, your arms and your legs. This is so you can get ready to fight or to flee. And it also shuts down all of those processes within your body that are not essential to immediate survival. So things like digestion, you know, if we are walking down a dark alley and we see a stranger coming up behind us, we don't need to digest our dinner. We need to run for our life. So it'll stop or slow down digestion. We also don't need things like critical thinking, you know, so we're not solving a complex finance problem or having to win at a chess game. It'll shut down things like immune response, so your immune system is temporarily affected. And it also shuts down reproduction, because when we are fearing and running for our life, we don't need to worry about procreating. That's kind of going to be at the end of the list. But here's the problem with all of that. It sounds like a great system, and it is, because like I said, it has kept us alive and it is why we are here. But your beautiful brain just doesn't understand a threat that's real and a threat that's imagined. So if you are walking down that dark alley and you're worried about a stranger coming up behind you and you're all alone, your brain will see that threat as equivalent to, I've just gone through another cycle of IVF and it hasn't been successful and I'm terrified I'm going to have to go through this again because it's affecting my relationship, it's draining my finances, it's affecting my work, my career, my relationships with my family, my friends, my entire life is impacted and I don't know how I'm going to survive. So your poor brain just thinks that you are under threat and that your life is in danger. And when you've been through a trauma like loss or repeated losses or just endless treatments that haven't worked for you, you hold those memories of those events within your body. And when you think about those memories, it brings your body right back into the moment. And like I said, your brain doesn't understand that that threat is imagined. It just thinks, we're under threat, let's go. Let's get that stress response happening. And on top of everything that you've experienced on this journey, you're also navigating, like I said, your career, your relationship with your family, your friends, you're spending hundreds of dollars on supplements, you're focusing on your diet, you're just not enjoying your life, and the financial strain of treatments is endless. And you can see how this cocktail of stress just keeps filling and filling up an already overflowing bucket. It is a lot for your brain and your body to deal with. And when you experience this level of stress day after day for months or years, over time, we can notice that things really start to change. We overreact to situations. We start looking for the worst case scenario all the time. We have trouble sleeping. We can't be present. We find it hard to connect with others, and things that used to be enjoyable just don't seem appealing anymore. We may also experience physiological issues as well, like gut problems, immune issues, and it further affects your reproductive hormones. I have so many students who come to me who are just starting out on their fertility journey, and they used to have a normal, balanced cycle, but months or a couple of years later dealing with infertility, their cycle is now all over the place. They're not ovulating regularly. Their luteal phase is short. They've got PMS. They're getting all these symptoms that they never had before. And this is what stress over a long period of time can do to you. So, what do we do about it? The first step here is awareness. And this is crucial. How can you notice and how can you become aware of when this stress response is taking over? So usually we notice signs of your heart rate is increasing. You start to breathe a little bit more quickly and quite shallowly. We might get sweaty palms. We might notice that sense of irritability. You know, we can't sit still. We can't focus. We need to get up. We need to move. All of these are symptoms of your stress response. So can you be aware of those when they start happening? Can you notice repetitive thought patterns that are coming up, intrusive thoughts that keep coming up over and over again? One of the best ways to start coming into awareness with a lot of these things is to write them down. And I find that even just having the notes app open on your phone, I mean, you don't have to carry a journal around with you everywhere. If you want to, that's great. But just grabbing your notes app and writing down this thought that comes up over and over again, it's never going to happen. It's never going to happen. This next round of treatment isn't going to be successful. Whatever it might be, just write it down. And then ask yourself, how does this feel in my body? Where do I notice these sensations? Do I feel heaviness in my chest? Do I feel a tightness or a constriction in my throat? Do I get a headache? Do I feel like I have butterflies in my stomach? Notice all those signs of irritability as well. You know, are you noticing that your heart rate increases? Bringing that experience into a somatic version of what you're going through, so a felt sense within your body, is incredibly powerful. You can also ask yourself, what emotions are there? So what am I feeling? Am I feeling anger, frustration, sadness? Am I feeling apathy? Do I just not get excited about things anymore? I just don't seem to care. These are all symptoms of a prolonged stress response as well. The next thing I like to do once you have become aware of what's happening is to be present. And how can we get present in any situation, whether it's sitting in a meeting at work, driving, at home, sitting on the couch, trying to get to sleep at night and you're struggling? My favorite way to do this is to go through your five senses. What can I feel? What does this chair feel like underneath my hips? What does this pillow feel like on my cheek? Am I in reach of anyone that I can give a hug to? What can I see? Is the room dark? Is it light? Are there people around? What can I hear? Am I alone? Can I hear that it's raining outside? Are there cars going by? What can I smell? Can I smell that cup of coffee that's sitting on my desk? What can I taste if I just had my lunch and I can taste that sandwich that I just gobbled up? Going through your five senses is the fastest way to bring you into presence. Now, the last thing I'll explain is one of my favorites, and I think it is the most powerful tool that we all possess at any moment of any given day, and that is your breath. Your breath controls so much that we don't realize. Now, as I said before, when you are in that stress response, one of the things that happens is that your breath starts to increase, the rate is more rapid, and we breathe quite shallowly. But if you can hijack that response and slow down that breath, especially your exhale, it signals to your brain that you are safe, that there isn't a need to start that stress response and the cascade of things that come with that. Because all of the things that the autonomic nervous system controls that I went through before, things like breathing, keeping the heart beating, keeping blood pumping, keeping your muscles and your organs working, we don't have control over any of that except for the breath. It is the one thing that you have control of at any moment, and it is your ticket out of your stress response. So I hope that this episode has been helpful for you. This is something that I am so passionate about because 100% of my students will report that stress is affecting their lives when it comes to infertility. It's something that we need to address, but we have to address it in the right way. And I find that, you know, doctors don't really give a lot of helpful recommendations when it comes to stress. They say things like, take it easy, you know, try not to do too much, don't have so much on your plate, or book in a holiday, all these things. Whereas it's the little things that you do regularly, consistently over time that make such a difference. If you'd like to learn a bit more about some of these tools and how they can alleviate stress within your life as you're trying to conceive, don't forget I have a free fertility yoga guide available. This guides you through each phase of your cycle and gives you practices to be doing at each phase, as well as different ways to use breathwork and meditation throughout. I'll leave a link in the show notes if you want to grab a copy of that. And also, if you found this episode helpful, please be sure to tag me on your Instagram stories and leave a review wherever you listen to your podcasts. Now, on the next episode, I am speaking with a very special guest, fertility nutritionist Monique Cormack. And we're going to be talking about whether or not you really need IVF if you're approaching or over the age of 40. She goes through all the reasons why this may not actually be the case and what you can do before you get to that stage to improve your chances of falling pregnant. So until then, I am sending you all my wishes on your own journey to fertility.